Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast, presented by Allied Home Security.
Well, he found something there. Fair down the line. Into the corner, and Altuve starts the night with a double. Jammed. It'll score a run. And a safe all around. 2-1 Houston here in the second. Left side, base hit. Here comes Gurriel. He'll score, going to third with nobody there. Is Siri, he pops up, comes to the plate, two-run score. 4-1, Astros on top. And that's into left. Altuve's got another. 2-2 pitch. That's it. Astros take game two.
There it is. There's your montage for the day. Seth, tomorrow it would have been 4 years to the day that the Astros would have had their last home win in a World Series game. October 29th, 2017 was up until last night. October 29th, 2017, game five against the Dodgers at 13-12 extra inning game. The Derek Fisher game was the last time the Astros won a home game in the World Series. And last night they got their World Series home groove back last night.
I'm going to be honest with you, Sean.
Yeah.
There's something about some of these daunting World Series stats
that
it annoys me a little bit. Not that you're saying it, but people will say things like that, like, hey, it's been this long since they did something in the World Series. Yeah. Teams don't typically go to a World Series every other year. It's still a relatively rare thing because most teams, it's been like a decade since they did anything in the World Series, at least.
Right. But the Astros have actually been to a couple World Series.
Right.
They played a lot of postseason baseball.
Played a lot of postseason baseball, yeah. And the fact is that they had this anomaly of a World Series in 2019 where they didn't win any home games.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Real
quick, if you were spending $500 a ticket, you would have felt it very acutely last night.
Now, winning enough. Look, I was at game seven in 2019.
Right, that's true.
I'm acutely aware.
Yeah.
I didn't have to pay for the tickets. But somebody did. Yeah.
So
it was our guy Keith Sullins from Papa John's.
Papa John's, yeah.
So, No. Because some of the things are notable. Like that not having a win in the opening game of a World Series, that stuff. There are notable moments. I think the biggest thing about the Astros, which again, we've said it multiple times during the playoffs, and I think it comes into play right now, is that this team just has more experience than anybody else at playing in the World Series, playing in the playoffs, and there's just zero panic to their game. I think that at some point, Jose Altuve, in starting off 3-for-29 since the ALCS, was going to turn. You know, like that pendulum is going to come back at some point unless there are injuries or what have you. And we certainly saw that last night.
Yeah, here's Jose Altuve on this team. By the way, 7-2, the final score if you're just waking up with us. You heard the montage. Series now tied at 1. Off day today. Games 3, 4, and 5 over the weekend. It should be a dynamite weekend. Games 3, 4, and 5. We're going to get all three of those games because it's 1-1 now heading to Atlanta. Here was Jose Altuve on the Astros' playoff experience.
Nothing is easy in baseball, especially in playoff, but when you've been in situations before, you know how to handle it. You know, and I know what my team is capable to do, to win 3 in a row, to come back from things that we don't want, like situations we don't want to be, but we overcome those situations. We keep playing. I think the key is nobody in the room is thinking about being the hero or thinking about hitting 300 or whatever in playoff. We just want to win. You know, we are rooting for each other, and I think that's the way we play tonight, and you saw the result. It was a good one for us.
Seth, it's so fun, and it's so rare in sports that you get to root for the team that the other team is worried about the other shoe dropping at some point. Like for me, throughout my whole life, it feels like the teams I've rooted for, I'm always just waiting for something bad to happen with those teams. I don't know if it's because I've been a Houston sports fan for most of my adult life, and I was a Boston sports fan growing up before it became what it became in the 2000s. I jumped off that ship as soon as they all started winning up there. So I've spent pretty much my whole life waiting for the other shoe to drop on my teams. This is the team where, say, in this series, Atlanta's fan base just had to be sitting there all night last night going, here it comes. Here, and you know what? Here it comes this weekend, too. This team is just, I don't know how to put it into words. Like, this team is just, they're it's cliche, but they're just such a clutch team. They are just so good in these big moments. It's remarkable.
They're so clutch in multiple different ways. For one, the onslaught they've had against their starting pitching, going back to last year with Verlander, because that extends on into this year. I mean, there's a reason, like you might have a different starting pitcher or what have you if you didn't have Justin Verlander's salary on there. So that's like, even though that's a long time ago with that injury, that's still a real and present issue on the current team. Greinke becoming, you know, the guy that he's had to be these last couple months. Lance McCullers being gone for the two final series of the postseason. They just keep steadily marching on through. But the biggest thing for me so far has been in these last two series, the fact that whether it's Urquidy or Framber or Luis Garcia, like their ability to come up when the team absolutely needs them to, despite whatever hardships they've had before, that's just been incredible. And that's where, like, I feel eminently confident that when we see Framber again in this series, he's going to have a lights out performance.
Yep.
Because especially, Sean, he'll be fresh. Just like in the ALCS when those guys both sucked early on.
Right.
By the time the Red Sox saw them later, they hadn't seen much of them. They didn't have that beat on them the way you typically do the second and third time you see a pitcher.
Very little wear and tear also. You only threw like 50 pitches. Yeah. So last night, I'm glad you brought up Urquidy. Last night, Seth, good night if your first name was Jose. You had Jose Altuve, who we just heard from. Double to lead off the game for the Astros, home run to, you know, kind of close out the game. It didn't exactly close out the game, but it was a late inning home run. So it was good to see Jose Altuve get his swing back. Jose Urquidy was really good for five innings. Good enough. They got what they needed out of Jose Urquidy. They got five innings. His ERA in three World Series appearances, to your point, 1.69 in three World Series appearances in 10 other postseason appearances. 5.40.
Yeah, he's really, we should just keep him on ice until the World Series
every year. Every year.
It's just, this is when he shines. Yeah. This is his moment.
Yeah, so Jose Urquidy really good. And then the other kind of unsung hero in the game last night, he was right in the middle of all of it while that chaos was going on in the second inning when the Astros scored four runs and I don't think hit a ball like really hard the whole inning. Tucker hit a line drive single. Other than that, Yuli shooting ground balls through the right side.
Yeah.
Jose Siri infield single. Martin Maldonado with a ground ball single. Classic Astros baseball. Jose Siri right in the middle of all of it. His infield single gave the Astros the lead. And then the Braves had some, you heard it in the open here, some, you know, just chaos going on. The Braves not covering third base. Ball rolls to the backstop. Jose Siri comes home. Siri was kind of right in the middle of the burst for the Astros that put them ahead for good. in this game. Here's Jose Altuve on Jose Siri.
I think I told Siri that his broken bat single, the way he ran to first and then the first to third and scoring was probably what it gave us the win tonight. You know, he's like, he just, like I said, plays hard every day. He brings energy to our team. And, you know, I'm just happy he had a good game and helped us to win.
That was Dusty pushed the right button on that one, Seth. Chaz McCormick's not generating that kind of energy on the base paths and things like that last
night. That kid, and the comparison that people keep bringing up is he's a positive, happy Carlos Gomez.
Yeah.
He's a less infuriating Carlos Gomez.
Yeah.
He's got a wildness to him that's just really fun to watch. And he's so fast. Like, Sean, he just, on that run to first, that was absurd. I don't know. I didn't see any of the StatCast stuff on that or anything, but that's got to be one of the fastest runs to first this season in baseball. Like, whatever his top end speed was, the way he just glides along. And then Siri, the guy who everybody is terrified of on the base pass in terms of him potentially making some kind of an error, very, very heady and crafty job working his way around the bases and coming home there.
Yes.
on that errant ball. That was really nice. Man, that kid, he's almost like a lightweight George Springer. The way his energy just seems to be contagious.
Yeah. I like how you're calling him a kid. He's 27.
I know, yeah.
He's
yeah.
older than Yordan Alvarez.
He's very much, I have to keep reminding myself that, yeah. I know.
Like Yordan, by 3 years.
Yordan, who could be a 48-year-old social studies teacher.
Right.
Like that really calm social studies teacher that could pound you into the earth but just kind of laughs at your misbehavior. Yeah. Whereas Siri is 27 years old and he comes off like a 17 or 18-year-old kid.
Can I read your tweet about Jose Siri?
I was going to save it for later, but yeah, we can.
The audience jumps in and out. This is Seth last night. Siri has that look of the kid who consistently charmed his way out of detention.
Charms his way out of detention. Yeah. Yeah. He's kind of like, he's mischievous, but still charming.
Yeah.
And a lot of teachers weighed in after I said that and agreed with me wholeheartedly.
That's funny.
Every teacher has some kid that you just, they drive you insane, but you can't help it. You like them. That seems like what that's Jose's here.
That's all Amy teaches. Amy's an intervention teacher. That's all she gets are the kids who are in detention, but they're such cute kids. They're such
that's
nice
what,
kids.
Yeah, that's what Brandy was too. And she said, oh yeah, Siri would have been in my office every day. Chatting. Just to chat.
Right. Let's play with Legos. Things like that. All right. We're off and running on a victorious Thursday here. The Astros win last night 7-2. World Series tied at 1, but man, the Astros are in a really good spot. We're going to talk about that more as the show rolls on, because I was listening in on some Atlanta sports talk yesterday. They are nervous in Atlanta right now. That Charlie Morton injury has them running scared right now. So we'll talk more about that. The roof was open last night. We got a lot of stuff to get into. Meanwhile, with the Texans, is the culture mutiny upon us? It was quite the afternoon yesterday on Twitter for current Texans. We will get to that next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores. Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Payne and Pendergast with you. Someone texted in, who was the Jose of the night? There needs to be an award.
It was funny at the press conference. There were a couple times that somebody would ask a question of Jose, and Altuve would start to answer, and the reporter would say, no, I'm sorry, I meant Siri.
Yeah. No, Altuve would answer, the other Jose, and then Urquidy, no.
Yeah,
the
exactly.
Third Jose. Yeah, there were three of them up there. It was a wild night, man. Astros 7-2.
Somewhere somebody is grumbling.
Yeah.
somewhere an old fella is like, baseball's my area.
Totally. All right, so there was grumbling going on yesterday afternoon, kind of out of nowhere. And I think this is probably indicative of some of what's going to be upon us here over the next 5 or 6 days. Trade deadline in the NFL is Tuesday, 3:00 in the afternoon local time. So that Deshaun Watson has obviously been the big topic. We'll get to Deshaun a little bit later on this hour. But there was a trade yesterday made by the Texans. They traded Mark Ingram, who I think, Seth, there was probably a pretty good idea that a running back, a veteran running back, could get moved. They've got a plethora of averaging 3 yards a carry. You know, they've got plenty of
that
them.
That was one of your foundational principles of this team, Sean,
yes,
heading into the season, was that, okay, the only reason that you would have this many veteran running backs is that at some point somebody's going to get injured elsewhere and that somebody will get picked up. We thought we had tabbed Mark Ingram as the most likely guy for a while just because he's so well liked and respected in both Baltimore and New Orleans that this is the kind of guy that you can plug in and use him for however many touches per game you want or just to be used in pass protection. And yet, and I find myself here, Sean, kind of a hypocrite, I feel very conflicted about the trade of Mark Ingram.
Mm.
There's a part of me, and this is, it gets complex. And I saw on social media various people talking about how, like, oh, you're whining about this team that's going nowhere, actually at least getting some assets back for somebody. Here's where I'm conflicted. And it's always when I try to put myself in the shoes of a player, like perhaps Brandon Cooks, which we'll discuss in a second. The players don't know that you're tanking. The players, like, want to believe and buy into all of the propaganda that coaches give them during the season about, or during the preseason, about being better than everybody thinks they are and, you know, having each other's backs, all that stuff. So as a player, it's frustrating when all of a sudden you realize, oh yeah, they're definitely not. They're definitely thinking way more about next year than this year.
Yeah.
And that's what happens when you trade away Mark Ingram. I mean, so it makes sense strategically, but it's frustrating if you're a player, if you're a fan who's invested in winning right now.
Yeah, well, like Brandon Cooks, you know, and you're right, Seth. I said before the season that Nick Caserio was operating two things in tandem, a football team and a garage sale. And we're at the garage sale. This is the biggest week for the garage sale that is the Houston Texans roster. And apparently nobody dialed Brandon Cooks into this because his reaction, and Seth, the timing of this could not have been more bizarre, because Brandon Cooks was doing media late yesterday afternoon. That was when the players did their Wednesday media session. And Cooks is a staple each week because he's one of the few guys that fans connect with on this football team. So he does it, I think, pretty much every week. He got up there, did his media session, stepped off the dais there, and then literally like 2 minutes later, Adam Schefter tweets that Mark Ingram's been traded. And then like 5 minutes after that, Brandon Cooks goes to his phone and tweets, "This is BS, such a joke." Except he spelled out BS. He didn't mince words. So I'm assuming this is about, I mean, he didn't specify, but I'm assuming with the timing of it, he's tweeting, and so is everybody else, he's tweeting about this Mark Ingram trade. Why is this significant? Because Brandon Cooks is the face of whatever this culture is they're trying to build here. He was handpicked by, I think it's safe to say, handpicked by Jack Easterby to come here and be some sort of beacon of culture. He was traded for a second-round pick last year. I know O'Brien was the GM who executed the trade, but you and I were pointing out long before Cooks became a Texan, like, wow, Jack Easterby sure does retweet Brandon Cooks a lot, former New England Patriot.
And then Landry went and found, you know, some great sound bites of Jack Easterby just gushing about Brandon Cooks and you know, conspicuously bringing up that Brandon Cooks would like to come in and ask Jack to pray with him and all that stuff,
right,
too. Jack very good at mentioning the big names of people that respect him.
Right.
So,
this is significant, man.
So, like, trading away Mark Ingram isn't as significant as, all right, if you're preaching culture, what, your number one culture guy looks peeved AF. Like, this is not, it doesn't seem like the culture is going all that well, which goes back to what we've been talking about this week, which is, look, it's really hard to establish any kind of a positive culture in the middle of getting your heads caved in because you suck. You know, like, it's because everything you do, even the positive things you do and the things that you do well, they're not being reinforced by any kind of victory. So it starts to feel like, okay, well, this team doesn't know. And then the worst part of it is, as you're trying to establish this magical culture, guess what? The guys that really give a damn about winning and that are competitive as hell don't want to be here, you know, like, they just flat out, they don't want any part of this culture. And so it snowballs and goes downhill. It's going to be ugly, Sean. It's going to be a really ugly, perhaps next 10 weeks or so. That's all. And that's what it is with tanking. I mean, like, I've hesitated to use that word, but now with the departure of Ingram, like, you're clearly tanking. Like, there's no, like, before you might have made an excuse about Roby or what have you, but, and I knew that, I've been saying all along, they're not trying to obviously win big time this season, but I thought they were at least trying to be competitive and put up good fights. This is a little bit more of a chink in that armor in terms of whether or not, like, they're even trying to put up a fight anymore.
Yeah, and I think when you say they, you're talking more about the front office than you are the players.
That distinction needs to be made,
because people are going to hear you say they're tanking, and people are going to hear that and assume that you think the players are going out there trying to lose.
That's why Brandon Cooks is apparently frustrated, right, is because he sees, oh, okay, this is not trying to win this week.
There's nothing,
this is all about the future, which as a fan, I'm grudgingly okay with, because that's what the management has decided to do. As a player or as somebody that, like, wants to watch an entertaining football game, This doesn't help. This doesn't help you beat the Rams this week, obviously.
No. Yeah, no, it was already hard enough to beat the Rams when everybody was in sync, and now you got your guy. You have the guy who's not only been the face of this whatever culture it is you're trying to build, he's also been your best player. Seth, I would submit that this could be Brandon Cooks trying to get up and out of here. The guy who last year said that he would retire before the Texans could trade him. Remember the trade deadline last year? Yeah. He was asked about that. Now, that was when Deshaun Watson was still his quarterback. My guess is now Brandon Cooks is taking a look around and saying, you know, by the time this team is winning even 6 or 7 games a year, you know, we're 3 years away from that, or whatever his estimate would be. Brandon Cooks might be looking around and going, this is half real emotion and half a calculated move to get him up and out of here for a third-round pick or whatever it is next week.
Well, he said when he was on Texans radio the other day, he said, he was talking about the Astros, he said, hey, at least somebody in this town's doing something great. So, he's probably, it's embarrassing, Sean, because I was a veteran player on a 2-14 football team. And when you're a veteran and when you're the older guys on the team, you take it really personally, because you're supposed to be one of the leaders of that team. And what is your leadership good for if you can't win any games? So it really, it gets really, really frustrating when you're a 9th, 10th year guy and this is what you're putting out there.
Yeah. I mean, it's bad. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you, 713-572-4610. We're getting some good texts on the Astros game last night that I want to touch on here. Also, J.J. Watt out for the season. We'll get you updated on that. There's so much going on. Odds on Deshaun Watson being traded. If Vegas knows things, then here's how next week plays out for the Texans. We'll tell you next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, There's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
713-572-4610. We'll circle back to the Astros here in just a few minutes. The odds on Deshaun Watson being traded. Seth, when Vegas speaks, we now know that there is, Vegas speaks, you got to follow the breadcrumbs. The odds on Deshaun Watson being traded are out, courtesy of betonline.ag. So not technically Vegas, but it is a place where you can wager on this sort of thing.
Well, and I think when you say follow the breadcrumbs, what I hear is that it doesn't tell you whether something's going to happen or not going to happen, but by watching the line move, you can tell that somebody knows something.
Right.
Somebody out there figured something out. Okay.
You and I are both in the camp that we don't think a trade is going to happen by next Tuesday. Am I right with that?
I'm definitely – I think last week I was at about 75% probability there would be no trade. Now I'm probably up to about a 90%. And the only thing that's going to change it is if – I would think as if somehow all the civil suits go away.
Okay, well, then if you think it's 90%, then there is value in no right now. No is a favorite. It is a minus 200 favorite. No. Does a Deshaun Watson trade happen before the trade deadline? No is minus 200, which means, for those of you who don't speak fluent gambling, you have to risk $200 to win $100. Basically means it's got about a about a 33% chance of happening. Yes is plus 150. So you risk 100 to win 150. So no is a pretty substantial favorite. And I think even with seemingly the deck being cleared, and we'll hear from Roger Goodell in just a second, but with the deck seemingly being cleared for him to at least play this season, they don't seem ready. They being the NFL don't seem ready to punish Deshaun Watson this season. As you've pointed out a few times, Seth, for the Dolphins, it's reaching a point where it's not really about this season. They're 1-6. They're about to play the Bills this weekend, so they're about to be 1-7. Acquiring Deshaun Watson, if you're the Dolphins, ain't about pulling 2021 out of a nosedive. It's about getting Deshaun Watson in the building and then dealing with whatever the fallout is from having Deshaun Watson on your team.
And then it becomes a matter of, Sean, I would make an argument that the risk, if all you're thinking about is the actual probability that Deshaun is available for the next 2 years or 3 years, I would say that the risk of bringing in Deshaun is probably better than your chances of striking on a first-round quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the first-round quarterbacks go down like flies these days.
Yes.
None of the guys drafted, from 2017 and before even with their teams anymore.
That's right.
Except for Deshaun. And, or 2016, I should say.
Right.
2016.
Right.
2017 has a couple. Yeah. So I think that the chance, that makes sense. The problem is the downside of it not working out is far greater. Hey, if you bust on a number 7 overall pick at quarterback, oh no, we drafted Josh Rosen, let's go out and get somebody else. If you bring in Deshaun and it turns out that the allegations are even worse than the already bad ones out there, or that he actually faces jail time from a criminal trial or something, then you're taking one on the nose in a lot of respects.
Oh, yeah.
And from a PR standpoint, from a owner having to be out at his philanthropic events, and you know, like all these kinds of things, like even in the owner's personal day-to-day business, there's a downside there that can't be quantified, and that's what's holding people back right now. The Dolphins, it seems like the football people are gung-ho for it, but Stephen Ross, the owner, is not so sure, and he's the holdup right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, well, and again, just we should establish kind of where this all is. According to John McClain, the two sides have agreed to what the compensation in the trade would be, but Stephen Ross, as Seth just pointed out, the owner of the Dolphins, 81-year-old billionaire, he is still reportedly doesn't have a stomach to take on Deshaun Watson with his legal situation still unresolved. Maybe he gets the stomach to do it by the time Tuesday rolls around. We'll see. Maybe it depends on how ugly it looks this weekend against the Bills. Who knows for the Dolphins?
Stephen Ross, you know, remember he's not one to be trifled with. Remember what he did to that poor Peloton lady in that ad that he owns because he's the owner of Peloton. You know,
is he the owner of Peloton?
Yeah, or he's a big time investor.
Is
oh
he?
No, he owns SoulCycle. He owns SoulCycle.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm sure they've had some kind of scandal. You find any of these guys, they've all got, like, their companies, when you employ like 100,000 people, you end up having a few scandals here and there.
Yeah.
I know, I was joking about the Peloton. I love that Peloton ad.
I do too.
Love my Peloton. Open to taking advertising dollars for it anytime.
Right, there you go. I
get on it every single – I've ridden that thing 300 out of the last 365 days.
You look good. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Baby.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, you're an Adonis.
Go send a bill to the Peloton people.
There you go. Here's Roger.
Now that I've exonerated them from any connection to Stephen Ross.
Right. Here's Roger Goodell at the owners meeting earlier this week on where the league stands with Deshaun Watson.
Roger, what can you tell us about the status of the Deshaun Watson investigation and specifically what it is about his case that hasn't risen to the level of putting him on commissioner's exempt list?
There obviously are other, I'll call it legal approaches that are being made either through civil cases. Obviously, the police have been investigating also. We don't have all the access to that information at this point in time, and we pride ourselves on not interfering in that. Being cooperative as we can to make sure we get all the facts. But I think that process is still ongoing. And until that process is ongoing and we have enough data and enough information to be able to make a determination of whether he should go on commissioner exempt, we don't feel that we have that necessary information at this point.
I think what's interesting about that, Seth, you know, Roger Goodell's kind of Southern belling it right there. You know, we just don't have the information.
I'm just a simple sports commissioner.
Yeah.
I'm no different than the person that runs a 50-50 raffle at your hometown football game. And I'll tell you what, I sure wish I did understand these legal matters, this verbiage that just eludes me. I'd be happier than a dead pig in the sun if I were that intelligent. Yet I am not. I'm just but a simple football commissioner. And as such, I will do what the good Lord instructs me to do, which is abide by the law of the land and wait for mother... Wait for Lady Justice to dole out her
Lady Justice?
Her punishment or her exoneration.
Oh, yes. So the
I actually do believe Southern Belle Goodell there because there is the NFL ever since Ray Rice, I think, has to be very careful in any kind of appearance that they're like interfering in a legal matter or that they're digging into it. And I do think now rogue owners might go off and do their own investigations or something, but I think the league, and this is borne out by the way Goodell has operated, the league really waits for all the legal stuff to be resolved before they step in. Like Roethlisberger wasn't charged with anything. He was punished, but it wasn't until everything was resolved that the punishment was doled out. And I think that's where we are with Deshaun. So I've seen a lot of people say like, well, you see, Deshaun's free to play. Like, yeah, for now.
For now.
That doesn't mean that there isn't something coming down the pike eventually.
Well, I think what's interesting is they have interviewed 10 of the accusers. You know, it's not like they've been operating in the dark on this thing. He's like, well, we just don't have enough to do anything with. Well, you've interviewed 10 of the people who filed lawsuits against them.
But they're trying, right, yes. Okay, very, 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 very good point. But I guess what he's saying is that they're, as far as getting a feel for what the actual, like, criminal side is doing or anything like that, it's not like they're going out and interviewing the officers themselves. And that's another thing. When they interview the when they interview the accusers, the NFL has good intentions in doing that, but we've seen it already, like with Busby. Busby criticized the way that the NFL interviewed the women, where if the NFL doesn't interview the women, people accuse the NFL of not caring about their side of the story.
Yeah.
And so that part of it, that part of it is a bit of a contradiction, except that it is still, I think, the NFL trying to gather information but not step on the toes of law enforcement.
The other thing that I'm not buying with this, Seth, with what Goodell just said, that it makes it sound like, well, you know, there's a lot of stuff that we don't know. We don't have all the access to the civil and the criminal stuff. And you know, they may not have full access to it, but you know from being in the NFL, like, these teams all have security guys that are former FBI guys. Like, they've got so much. Like, the NFL, between the teams themselves and the league, they are littered with former FBI guys on there. Like, if they wanted to try, and maybe they have, and they're just playing coy on it.
But that's where I'm saying, like, I wouldn't put it past an individual owner or executive wanting to do that stuff. But as far as Goodell himself and the overarching NFL, I think they're paranoid about paper trails.
No, I get
like
it.
That.
I'm just saying he probably knows more than he's letting on is what I'm saying. You know, like he's got access to people who might have intel on all this stuff.
I think he wants plausible deniability.
Maybe.
I think he doesn't know squat.
Maybe.
I think he knows what he wants to.
Yeah.
So, you know, he doesn't. It's kind of like Luno not reading the 19th page of the email that mentioned the, what was the operation called?
They called it the dark arts. I forget what
the dark arts. Yeah. He didn't really want to know about the dark arts.
Yeah.
He's kind of like, dark arts. Me, oh my, I've never heard of such a thing.
Payne and Pendergast with you on a Thursday. I feel horrible for JJ Watt out for the season with a shoulder injury. Like, even when the Texans have to go injure somebody from the other team, they don't even do that right. They injured a guy we actually all still root for. JJ, he suffered for those who don't know and just waking up, J.J. Watt suffered a shoulder injury in the game against the Texans. He played through it for the rest of the game, but it turns out he's going to need surgery on the shoulder, and he's probably going to miss the rest of the season.
Yeah.
Feel bad for him.
It's tough because now it's getting to – I mean, how many season-ending injuries has he had?
Four.
Past
and since
5 years?
Since 2016. He played every game the first 5 years he was in the league up through 2015. 2016, he missed 13 games. With the back. 2017, he missed 11 games with the broken leg. Played every game of 2018. 2019, he misses 8 games with a torn pec. 2020, he plays every game. And now, a shoulder injury. That's the thing, Seth. Like, it's not just that he's missing big chunks with season-ending injuries. It's a different body part every time. He looks like the dude from Operation, the Wacky Doctors game, where there's all kinds of different injuries all over his body, and he's got a bright red nose, a bright red bulb for a nose.
And it starts to take its toll, obviously.
Yeah.
And I haven't looked up how his contract is structured, but that'll be the big question next year is, okay, Arizona is clearly, like, appreciated having him on board, but are they going to have to make a hard decision about just exactly how they handle him next year?
Yeah, he had, if I recall, and I'll look it up, but it was around 2 years, $31, $32 million, and I think about 22 or 23 of it was guaranteed. So So that's where he is with that.
So it's what you mentioned, the Texans injuring an opposing player. I'm a little surprised to say that we're not actively rooting for Charlie Morton, except that I guess because he's playing the Astros. But you still do love Charlie Morton, right?
Yes. Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know who Altuve has gushed about Charlie Morton several times, and it was no different last night. In this very good exchange, when this was A-Rod asking Altuve about how he came out of his slump.
Jose, we were talking, Alex here. We were talking last night. You striking out twice looking is so unusual for you tonight.
Yeah, but it's Charlie Morton.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's fair.
You're right.
That's a fair point.
Okay.
Yeah, Charlie Morton.
Let me tell you. I know I love the way you pronounced it. Let me tell you, just to set the visual on that, while all the guys on the set were cackling about that answer, Jose Altuve did not crack a smile. He was serious as a heart attack.
Honestly, Altuve is one of the best deadpan comedians ever because because people can't tell. He, because of his stature, his diminutive stature, and because he's so soft-spoken, a lot of times people don't realize like how funny he is. And like how, because he's very understated about it, and he has this appearance of just looking like the 5-year-old who's just said something funny without realizing
it.
But he knows exactly what he's doing. Like he was, listen to
it. Play it again.
Jose, we were talking Alex here. We were talking last night. You striking out twice looking is so unusual for you. Tonight.
Yeah, but it's Charlie Morton.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's fair.
You're right.
That's a fair point.
That's the same.
His facial expression never changed.
It was
as they're cracking up laughing and everything. He's just like, it's Charlie Morton.
It's Charlie Morton. It's Charlie Morton.
But it's Charlie Morton.
Yes, Morton.
Yes.
God, I love Jose Altuve so much. That was great.
Amazing.
That was great.
Who was he talking about there? Was he talking about Morton?
He was talking about Charlie Morton there too. Yeah, okay. He was talking about Morton. He is amazing. Charlie Morton. Ocho sends this text in, and the Astros win last night 7-2. They win last night 7-2, but Ocho makes a really good point here, because by the time the sixth inning rolled around, I'm like, okay, can they get to Fried here, please? Can they get this guy out of here? Because I was what?
I know what's coming. I know what's coming.
Well, it says
your little celebrity crush. Okay, go ahead.
No. Well, okay, we'll see. Good morning, guys. I know the Astros won, but can we highlight the great managing by Brian Snitker even in a loss? He's the Braves manager. I love that he didn't panic and left his starter in after a tough second inning. That's how you instill confidence in your pitcher. That's how a pitcher learns to pitch out of trouble and regroup. That's what makes good pitchers great. Well done, Brian Snitker. That's from Ocho. It's funny. I was thinking kind of the same thing. I'm like, boy, they tagged him for 5 runs in the first couple innings, but they did stick it out. Like when he was still in there in the sixth inning, I'm like, crap. Part of the goal of getting to this guy early, especially with a team that doesn't have Charlie Morton now, is to get into the bullpen. The Braves are going to have to pitch 2 bullpen games later on in this series.
Yeah.
And I thought Snitker leaving him in, I was disappointed he was still in there in the sixth inning because they didn't get into the bullpen as early as they did. But when you think about that fourth inning or the second inning, Seth, where they scored 4 runs, the Astros, they didn't make a ton of hard contact in that.
No, it was some very, very smart at bats that got that done.
And a good way to
some
put
not
it.
And not so great fielding at times during this game by the Braves. But yeah, like I'm just thinking at various times last night, both Brantley and Gurriel did so well against the shift. They were really, even Bregman, Bregman's first at bat, as much as trouble as Bregman's had, that first at bat was a really good one. I mean, he sent it to be, basically touched every part of the baseball field in that at bat.
Yeah.
And I think that's what the Astros did a good job of last night. But yeah, Fried was not as awful as his earned runs would suggest.
Right.
And he really just kept fighting. I actually, Sean, I'm guilty. I feel ashamed to say this, but I actually felt a little bit bad for Max Fried as he exited the game, because once he got out of the rough stretch in the middle, he pitched a hell of a game.
He
was sitting guys down one after the other. No, I thought you were going to say that at the bottom of the sixth they should have pinch hit Castro when the score was 5-2.
There
were runners on second and third.
No,
and
I
thought that
it crossed my mind, but I was cool with it. It crossed my mind. No, Maldonado had he had gotten a hit earlier in the game, so I was okay. Yeah. He was on a roll.
He's
got a base hit.
It was the hottest night of his life last night.
That's it, man. That's it. All right, Payne and Pendergast.
That was another thing I felt ashamed of. I was in that moment kind of like, man, you got a guy in second and third, and you got Castro 400.
See, it's not easy. It's not easy.
I know, it's not easy, but then I remember like, okay, look, I think that some people want to act like Maldonado's doesn't make any difference at all defensively, and that annoys me. But I am willing to concede that, all right, look, Castro has been a hell of a pinch hitter this year. And in that moment, it's really tempting to think, like, all you got to do is get a hit. There's 2 outs. Yeah, you got to get a hit. there.
Right.
Like, you either walk or get a hit.
Yeah.
So even if you've got a really good hitter, if you got a 300 hitter in there, you've only got a 30% chance of scoring a run right there.
Right.
You know, it's versus Maldonado being out there for three more innings in a three-run game. I would say keep the guy that all the pitchers love out there.
Yeah, there's a 100% chance you're better defensively over the next four or five innings of that baseball game.
Yeah.
All right, I listened in on some Atlanta sports talk radio yesterday, and I'm telling you right now, the Astros winning that game, the Braves' worst fears are now coming true. We will tell you why next.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.